So we're speaking on Matthew 16, verse 17 to 19 is the key bit. But I'm going to read a bit more. So if I was to give today a title, it would be Big Rock, Little Rock. Okay. So you know we're doing this series, we are big little ones, meaning we are little, childlike, the little ones of God, but we're big in God because he makes us big and he lifts us and puts it on his shoulder. So it's just on the same lines of that, Big Rock, Little Rock. It'll all make sense in a minute. Okay, so I'm going to go from verse 13. So when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And then Peter answered, and he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied to Peter, saying, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah," that was his real name, "for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Okay, so Father, we want to hear your voice for us out of this passage today. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your desire for us. We thank you for your plans for us. We thank you for including us in your kingdom, yeah. Including us in your family. We thank you that we are brothers and sisters in you, and your blood flows through our veins. We thank you that you lead us on that journey, and we are expectant. God, I know you're going to speak to us, mm-hmm. and we want a life-changing encounter with you today as we just think about things and talk about things. Okay? So, Jesus points out that it is God himself who revealed to Peter who Jesus was. It was a spiritual revelation. It wasn't through any conversation he had, anything he was told in the physical realms. It wasn't something that he physically learned or knowledge that he'd gained along the way. So it wasn't down to his own capabilities to understand and process information through human efforts or human abilities. It was a spiritual revelation through a connection or through a touch from God. So how often do we have those significant moments of revelation in God? You know, sometimes we meet with God in special ways when we worship corporately together or when someone prays or, you know, in the private place, in our own rooms. So I really love thinking about people's encounter that they had with Jesus and where so much changed, like in a single moment. So I want to ask ourselves, you know, what encounter with God did he have that he became so convinced of who Jesus was without being told by any human words? Do you get what I mean? It's like a spiritual exchange of knowledge and connection and information that went on, not with human conversations, but something just like direct from God. He had something directly from God. So what encounter did he have without those words that convinced him? You know, when he met Jesus on the beach, and Jesus comes, you know, he sees Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, "Come follow me," you know. Jesus convinced him to give up his business, his source of income, to follow him and trust him when money was super tight and he still needed a supply for his family. So in the natural, you know, that's such a crazy thing to do. It's like, hey, yeah, just give up my business and I'll just follow you and just not worry about anything else. It is a crazy thing to do. But what exchange took place to see a man, to meet a man that you never met physically, face to face before, you know, what exchange happened without words, you know, when he met Jesus and he agreed and he laid everything down and he sacrificed everything and he let go of everything to trust a man that he's met for the first time and give up everything and go follow him? It's a big deal, isn't it? It's, you know, so what happened? What was that exchange that went on between him and Jesus? There was a spiritual thing that went on where God convinced him it was the best plan ever to do. Excuse me. So, And this conversation that was going on with Jesus and his disciples was also a spiritual revelation, like a declaration or a prophecy of what to come, because there was no way that Peter or the other guys would have really understood the full picture at this time. So Jesus called out Peter's identity. He'd given him like a nickname. So he was Simon, he was Simon Peter, but he called him Peter, which means rock. And now he was reminding and explaining what that meant. Jesus had a plan for Peter, and Peter was not fully aware of what it would look like. Peter had just confessed who Jesus is. He says, "You are God." And Jesus does the same back to him. He confesses to Peter, "You are a rock." And he expresses his intention and his plan, what his plan was for him. So have you ever had one of those moments with God where he speaks directly into your heart through a prophetic word, or, you know, like declaring who you are, where you just know it and he's speaking to you and you really onboard it, that you're not just a child of God, but you've got a specific role and he specifically and individually loves you, knows you, is going for you. You know, where you receive like a specific God-given purpose, you know, like Fiola, you know, she heard from, she knows that she knows and she knows deep inside, you know, that was a connection with God. That was an encounter with God that you can't put into human words, that you know that you know that you know that this is what God's got for you and what he wants, you know. So have you had one of those specific encounters where God speaks to you about your role, your purpose, your God-given purpose, your gifting, your function, your jobs, the things he wants to do, the dreams that he's put into your heart, the challenges he wants you to step into? Have you had one of those specific revelations, and how recent was it? You know, because I really feel, you know, this is an ongoing conversation, a spiritual, deep inside conversation that we have with God, that he teaches us, shows us and reveals to us, you know, sometimes it's bit by bit and it grows, what his plans are. So Jesus referred to Peter as rock, because that's what his name means. So if there's ever a clear example of big one, little one, big rock, little rock, this is it, okay? So Jesus is the rock, the foundations and the chief cornerstone of the church, and Peter is a rock. He's got a purpose. He was calling him out before he was out. You know, like Gideon. Remember the story of Gideon where he's hiding? I can't remember. He's hiding in a wine press, wasn't he? And God, the angel, come and said something about him being a man of valor and brave and stuff like that. But he was hiding. You know? It's like the complete opposite. But, you know, God calls us out. God gives us promises. And God has got plans for us bigger than what our physical capabilities, our natural skill set is. He has bigger plans for us, and he calls us out. And when he gives us that knowledge, that insight in that encounter, when we talk with him, you know, it's bigger. It's like, yeah, you're going to feel like, really? You know, you think so. You think I can do that? Or you want to use me like that? That's crazy. Or you might be scared and just think, not yet. You know, I've still got a lot to learn and stuff like that. You know, but that's how God does it. He sees the bigger picture and he knows what's coming. He knows, you know, the lessons and the growth that you're going to have, the circumstances that you're going to have to walk through, that is going to develop you in the secret place and develop your spirit to be the little big one or the big little one. He knows what he's doing. So there's another passage that I just want to read. Right, this is from Ephesians 2:19-22. So, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as a chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. But Peter had such a powerful and significant role to play in the building of the church, despite who he was and where he came from. Right, I really love Peter, because he's like, I can relate to him. He's put your foot right in it, mess it up, kind of make a bit of a Wally of yourself. And I can identify with that, okay? You know, so I'm just going to list a few of Peter's faults, not to shame him, but just to say, you know, look what God can work with. You know, nothing that we struggle with should hold us back from what he's got in store for us.
Yeah.
Okay? He was impulsive.
He was.
Right? He spoke before he thought. He was one of those people. He was overconfident and prideful. Hopefully I'm not quite like that. But anyway, he was, you know, he claimed that he would never deny Jesus, even if others did. And what did he go and do? You know? He was a scaredy cat as well. You know, in that moment, he denied Jesus publicly 3 times. He misunderstood Jesus' mission. And he was violent as well. You know, he cut someone's ear off, you know, with a sword. It's pretty gross. But you kind of got to be a pretty sort of passionate man to, you know, do something like that, okay? He was inconsistent as well. He lacked faith at times. I think this is a real bad one, sorry, for Peter. But, you know, so Jesus has gone to pray. And he was one of the three that was to pray and watch. And he kept falling asleep. How many times have you fallen asleep? You can spend some time with God. It is the best sleep ever when you sleep in the presence of God with your Bible resting on your lap. Anyway, so that's why I really like Peter. Right, and then the story goes on. So looking at this, you know, Peter's experience, it goes on. And in Acts, after receiving the Holy Spirit, you know, they waited, that day of Pentecost, they waited for the Holy Spirit to come. He was so emboldened then that he stands up and preaches, and 3,000 people are added to the church in that day. So do you ever disqualify yourself because of your lack of abilities and skill set, or lack of faith, or not having the right personality or the right temperament, and because of the mistakes that you've made and being sinful and doing things wrong and messing up? Do you disqualify yourself sometimes? You know, sometimes I think I'm a complete write-off. But remember, it's big little ones. We are like little kids that mess up, think we know it all, but have a whole load of stuff to learn, so we have to depend on him. And by doing so, we become big when we trust him and obey him and let him lead and follow him and trust that he knows best and we don't. You know, he sees the end picture, the end goal, and we don't. Excuse me. So in that passage, Jesus says, I will build my church. It's Jesus that will build his church. Pressure is off of us. We are not building the church. We are not advancing the kingdom. It is Jesus that does it. He is the rock, and Peter is a rock, and we are a rock, a part of it. But we are not building the church. It is Jesus. And it's the revelation that Peter had of who Jesus is that enables Jesus to build via Peter. So it's our revelation that we have of who God is and who we are in him that allows him to use us, for us to become that vessel and for us to become, you know, the mouthpiece, so to speak, of God. So despite Peter's flaws, he is a man that is passionate about God. He fought for him. So if you think of that time when he cut the man's ear off, you know, it's kind of, his heart was right. He was defending Jesus. He just got it wrong. It wasn't how Jesus wanted him to do it. Okay, he was curious. He was a really curious man. Like, you think when in the boat and in the storm, and it was all stormy, and then they see Jesus. He's the one that gets out of the boat and thinks, you know, I'm going to go to Jesus. He was curious. Like, what can come of this? What can grow? You know, obviously his faith dwindled, and we know that he sunk a bit, but Jesus rescued him. But ultimately, Peter put himself at Jesus' feet every day. He showed up every day, even when he got it wrong, even when he got told off, and even when he made a mess of things. You know, he didn't hide away, shy away, thinking, oh, I'm useless, I'm rubbish, and blah, blah, blah. He turned up, he showed up every day. And then last week, Rochelle was talking about, Rochelle was talking about when Peter and John went to the temple, and with such authority, Peter commands the healing of that lame bloke that was sitting at the temple gate. He'd been lame from birth, so, you know, it was a massive step of faith. But with such authority, he commanded him confidently the healing of the man, and he was healed. And where did that confidence come from? You know, it's like he may have had human confidence. You know, some people are more confident than others. But something like that, you can only do that when your confidence is in God. You can have the most confident, you know, really sort of happy, easy-go-lucky person, you know, pray for people and stuff like that. And, you know, let's face it, often when we pray, we don't always see the things that we want to see. You know, so our physical abilities have got nothing to do with it. He had complete, utter confidence in the Holy Spirit. Okay. Because God had revealed it to him and he'd like branded it in his heart. He'd had like a line in the sand moment, an encounter with God that completely changed him from the inside out. It changed, you know, his mindset, his thinking. Okay, it came from changing his mind, changing his faith, trust, changing revelation. It was an encounter and a connection with the creator and the sustainer of the universe, the lover and rescuer of people. It was a powerful moment. And this was on a daily basis, you know, because Peter hung out with Jesus daily, didn't he? And it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, when the followers of Jesus waited for the Holy Spirit, and they all had this life-changing, world-changing encounter with God. Right, so what does it mean, on this rock I will build my church for us today, in this year, in 2025? You know, what is God's part, and what is our part to do? Because he invites us to be that pebble, that small stone. We have a part to play. And he's got a role for us, and he's got a plan for us to be part of it. He will build his church with our involvement, with our, you know, when we come and we sacrifice ourselves, when we offer ourselves. Okay, because it's his church, not ours. It's his responsibility, not ours. It's his design, his power, his strength, authority. It's his plan, and it's not ours. We're just simply the vessels that he chooses to use in building his church. He is the big rock, and we are the little one. Okay? So what does that look like for us when he says, I will build my church today? Well, firstly, one of the important things as a church is that we are unified, that we are together. Okay? So I'm going to read that Ephesians passage again, actually. So, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together, so that's us, we're joined together, and rises to become the holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So collectively, we are those rocks that are built on that cornerstone and built on that foundation. We are, that is the church, a dwelling place in which God lives by Spirit. So let's just let that sink in. So just on a practical thing, just look around, everyone, because I can see you all, but just look around at everyone that's in this building, okay? All these people that you see are precious stones. They're little rocks that make up the dwelling place. We make up the dwelling place of God. And God treasures us all, and we need to treasure each other. You know, each one of us, each one of you are precious. And there's a prayer that Jesus prays for all believers. I didn't jot where this is. I think this is in John. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So look how he speaks about us. Look how he speaks like his desire for us. Like we need to be really unified in demonstrating the love of God to each other. So how do we do that? First, we need to receive his love. We need revelation and encounter through the word and through supernatural revelation, just like Peter. You know, let's be honest, some people are easy to love and more so than others, aren't they? You know, we're very different and we can kind of rub shoulders with one another and cause sparks and things to fly and whatnot. You know, but God says, live in unity. And the only way that we can do that, we need that encounter. We need that fresh revelation. We need that supernatural gift that we receive directly from God when he speaks directly into our heart. And we need to put ourselves regularly in a place to hear that and to receive that. So it's only then that we can truly bear with each other and live in peace with each other and have difficult conversations with each other and look out for each other, encourage each other and provide for one another. Okay. And the second thing I want to bring is we need to be proactive. Okay, we're instructed to go into all the earth and make disciples. Okay. So this is the commission verse. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. So he's given us the keys to the kingdom. He gave them to Peter. He said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. We have the keys of the kingdom. He's given us authority. He's given us authority and resources to heal the sick. Excuse me. He is the healer. We're not the ones that do it. We're the vessel that carries it. Okay. We are the mouthpiece. We are the solution carriers. We are the physical arms to hug and hands to help. We are the pot of money for others. We are the listening ear to demonstrate the love of God. So we might not feel very much, but this is the role that Jesus has. We might not look like that we've got very much, but we need to be like Peter, just keep putting himself at the feet of Jesus, being a living sacrifice. It's part of our worship. We give ourselves as a living sacrifice to him, and we sit at his feet, and we take time, and we look at his face, and we offer everything that we've got. Everything that we've got is from him anyway. You know, everything that you've got in your house, the car that you drive, the job that you have, even your physical health that you've got to be able to walk and see, is all a blessing from God. It's his. It's not ours. It's his. You know, it's part of our worship when we give back what God has given us, you know, and be that vessel and be that little rock and saying, use me. So we need to listen and we need to obey and we do need to be brave at times. And we need to offer our time and our strength and our finances. We need to offer everything back to Jesus. We need to love like Jesus did, you know, and that needs to be like a daily prayer. Help me love like you do, Jesus. You know, help me go beyond my physical limitations and the things that I don't want to do and the things that I don't like and the things that I'm scared of. Help me go beyond that. Okay? So how we do that? We surrender. Doesn't need to be really complicated. We just need to make that choice and just say, here I am, everything I have is yours, and position ourselves to hear him and receive revelation from him, because we are not going to be able to do it in our own strength. We can't do anything in our own strength. You might have a little bit of success, but it's not going to be world changing. It's not going to, you know, we need that revelation from God. We need to trust in his resources and not our own. And then we need to just start taking steps, don't we? And just start doing things that are a little bit scary or a little bit out of our comfort zone. You know, speaking up for someone, praying for someone, giving someone that gift of money, you know, giving somebody a place to live. Oh, I don't know, whatever God's going to like talk about. But we need to position ourselves in a place where we say, okay, God, I trust you. Let's do this. What do you want? What do you want? You know, like, I'm here for you. Okay? So, and I just want to, like, now, in this moment, ask God, let's ask God that right now. Okay? Let's take that step and you know, let's just position ourselves. And I've prayed this prayer at times of like, you know, really don't feel like doing this. I really don't want to. I'm scared, you know. And sometimes, you know, God, there was one time when God responded to me, and this was in my 20s, just give you a quick example. He asked me to move to Thamesmead and to be part of a church plant. And I was like, no way, I'm not going there. You know, there was people there that I didn't want to run into, you know, and it was awful. And I just said, I wanted to be obedient, but I couldn't. So I just said to God, look, I'm just going to put this on the back burner. I'm going to have to forget about this for a while. If you want me to do this, you need to change my heart. And then within 6 months, when the subject came up again, and I'd not thought about it, and suddenly it's like my mind was different, my heart was different, and I felt different, and it was exciting, and it's like, yeah, let's do this. So God's not mean, you know. He's not going to drag you kicking and screaming to Sierra Leone, which is probably what I would be. But Fiona's happy about it, and Zimbabwe, and you know, and God knows us. You know, and we can trust him that he will lead us into good things, can't we? So let's just give a few moments. I'm going to stop talking and shut up. And just take a moment to wait on God and ask him, you know, what is it? What does he want from us? And let's make that brave prayer to say, look, here I am. Jesus, we thank you that you got us here today, and we thank you that in worshipping you, we've received things from you, we've heard your voice, and you've connected with us. We thank you for that. And we thank you for your plans, Father. We thank you that it's you that will build your church, it's you that's going to establish your church here and grow your church here. Yeah, we think of this area, Borough of Greenwich. We thank you that you have got a plan. And we thank you that we are those small rocks, the pebbles that you're going to use. And Jesus, we want to position ourselves in a place of obedience and a place where we will come and we will hear what you've got to say. And we will know your heart and we will know your plans. And we want to be in a place where our hearts become more like yours, Jesus. And you teach us and help us to love like you do. And we want to learn to love sacrificially, even in difficult times, circumstances, to difficult people. God, we thank you that you have got a plan for Greenwich. We thank you that we are part of that. And we just want to be obedient to you. Yeah, would you speak to us over the coming weeks, Lord, and put dreams and things in our heart? Would you give us revelation of what you want us to specifically to do, people to specifically speak to, things to start, places to go, I don't know, social groups to join, you know, even what cafes and pubs to go to. Lord, we want to position ourselves and we want to see you, Jesus, glorified in this place. And we give back everything to you that you have given us, and we're grateful for it. And we thank you that you will lead us into good things. And we need not be scared to surrender everything and sacrifice everything to you, because you are good. You are good, you know, you understand, and we can trust you. You are so trustworthy. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
We love you, we honour you. And we thank you for this amazing plan that you've got and the part that we've got to be part of it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.